Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Hey guys, it's Big Cat, and Fight Week is here. Rough and Rowdy 24 invades Clarksburg, West Virginia this Friday night, April 19th at 8 p.m. Eastern. For the first time since Rough and Rowdy 1, every single fight will be a brand new brawler, and we found the wildest hillbillies the Holler has to offer. Order now to enjoy 20 amateur matchups with no headgear, plus our live ring girl contest after the final bell. These country roads are being paved with blood and grit and balls. Join me and Dave on the call for Rough and Rowdy 24 tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. Witness all the chaos with pay-per-view replay available all weekend long on buyrnr.com. That's buyrnr.com.
It's a Friday edition here on Zero Block 30. And before we get going, Connor has something that he wants to say.
Oh, thank you. Something came across my desk earlier this week that was just so preposterous, so ridiculous that I could not believe it. Something that folks are taught in kindergarten. So the fact that it was ignored just blew me away. Corporal Mannion, could you please explain to me why I heard that you obtained two coats that did not belong to you and then had the owner of these coats tell you that you had them and you've still not returned these coats to the owner? I'm perplexed.
What had happened was... first of all, let me say Gear Adrift is a gift, as we all know, okay? And Barstool is a giant ship with Gear Adrift on it, okay? Our headquarters is nothing.
It's basically a battalion headquarters.
It's a battalion headquarters. There's just shit everywhere. It's freezing in there with the AC, and I didn't realize the professional hockey player, Biz Nasty, who we work with, Paul Bissonnette, he had given some of our producers very fancy, expensive coats, similar in a style to his own, but that he has a tan one. He got, I think it was lime green, hot pink, and hot purple, and he had given them to three top producers at Barstool, these ladies with fabulous sense of coat style. I didn't know that, so when I saw the hot pink and hot purple coats floating through the office, I sort of tactically acquired them as my own and started wearing them. Now, I wasn't hiding it. I was wearing them very publicly around the office. I didn't realize that one of the producers had been watching me wear her coat for months, feeling slightly concerned. And she finally pulled me aside and said, "Hey, did you know that's my coat?" And I said, "No, I didn't." She said, "Yes, it is. And now that it's confirmed, am I still wearing the coat?" "Yes, but if she ever wants it back, have it back."
No, no. You give it back to her. Regardless of what she says, you just give it back to her at that point and say, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't realize." I understand the Gear Adrift part. But once she comes forward and says to you, "Hey, that's my coat," you take it off. And even if she says, because the woman in question is super nice, so she's not even going to say like, "Oh, I need it right now." She said to you, "Oh, that's fine." It's not fine. Just give it back to her. And while you're at it, after you give her back to her, confirm with me that you've given them back to her. Why don't you meet me on the PT field at 06 on Saturday and Sunday so we can get this fixed?
Okay, it's a Marine. That's not legal for her. Whoa. You cannot do physical training.
What?
Not anymore. Nope. Not unless you're a battalion commander. That's the only way you can sign off on that.
Well, guess what? I think by now I'm approaching battalion command. So
Not even close.
Does the Army even do corrective PT? I guess we'll have to find out.
We'll have to find out because today we have five rounds in the magazine. Round number one, adorable. The Army is okaying push-ups, PT for minor infractions, and Kate has a game that's going to test our leadership skill with this new guidance. Round number two, holy shit, we've got a Coast Guard story that's not about intercepting drug smugglers or rescuing boaters or hopping on a submarine that is filled with narcotics. Hear why one of the ships had to open fire during an open swim call out at sea. Round number three, a first sergeant in the Army Combat Aviation Brigade has banned Cardi B music from their building, calling it, quote, trash. And we'll be playing 90 musics from here on out. Sheesh. We have to ask all of us, tell me why. But that's not even a 90s song, is it? That's fucking 2000s.
Oh.
Yeah, tell
that
me
might
why.
Be early 2000s.
I think it's 90s.
I think that's the year 2000 is the Backstreet Boys first stepped on the
scene. I blew it.
Could be 99. You might barely make the cut
we'll
there,
see.
Kate. And a correction in the round. It's not a first sergeant who did it. It was a company commander. Round number four. Remember the huge fire above the Bonhomme Richard? Well, a Navy sailor is currently being investigated for arson by NCIS. If they're guilty, then boy, they're in for some crappy fire watch. Dude, that ship was like $1 billion, right?
Oh, we'll get
something
into
like
the
that?
Numbers of what has happened there. It is insane.
That
yeah.
person is bigly fucked. Round number five, Catch Me If You Can, Department of Homeland Security edition. Donovan Nguyen, who masqueraded as a federal agent for years, pulling over motorists, obtaining guns, and searching homes. We're going to talk about that giant fucking weirdo in round number five, and all that's going to be brought to you by our good friends at 3Chi. 3Chi is the way to go if you want to have a little bit of cannabis in your life while also just having it delivered in the mail. Wow, folks, delivered in the mail. Unbelievable. Kate, you've tried 3Chi, right?
Yes, I have. I've tried it, and like you said, it does help with sleep. If you're in the military active duty, there's real THC in it, but there's like this loophole where everybody else, it's fair game. You can have it. So everybody at work talks about it. It's one of those products here that legit everybody loves it. So
yeah, it really caught on. It's pretty incredible how they do it. It's just grown from hemp, and it's THC 8 instead of THC 9, which is illegal like in Texas and things like that. So you get around a lot just doing a little skirting, just like Kate did with that coat. Just skirting the rules just a little bit. Nothing wrong with that. Use the promo code ZERO at the checkout, and you're going to receive 5% off your order. You must be 18 to purchase. You're going to really, really like it. You're going to be able to sleep good. You're going to take some gummies. You're going to do whatever you want to. It is awesome. Go to 3chi.com with the promo code ZERO. 5% off. Check out their social handles at 3Chi CBD and Instagram 3Chi CBD and Facebook at 3Chi CBD. Check it all out. It's worth it. You're going to love it. It's going to make your Friday night. You're going to have some Friday night giggles. That's what I'll say. Without feeling paranoid. It's nice.
All right, that way was 1999. So,
Kate, suck it.
Barely skirted it in there. Two skirt references. Sorry about that. All right, let's go. I just need to say, if I was still on active duty, I would absolutely be going to sick hall today. Absolutely.
Really?
Like if I had PT, I'd be going to sick hall. I would be bitching out of PT in a heartbeat.
Wow.
Yesterday, I moved thousands of pounds of logs by myself.
Oh.
And my wrist and core and back are beyond sore. Like just picking up a toaster strudel this morning, I was like, with my wrist.
Yeah.
I bet I couldn't do one pull right now.
My guess is you were picking up logs of all different shapes and sizes, and anytime you can't really get a firm grasp on something and you really have to utilize your grip strength, that'll get you, because grip strength is not something that we utilize to our full capacity on a daily basis, save
well,
for
one
some
of the
jobs.
It's like super soft sand that I was moving these through, and one of them was like a good 10, 12 feet long. And I had to drag it by myself over to my truck, pick it up, put it on the tailgate, pick it up again, and slide it into my truck. By the time I was done, I was broke the hell off. I'm feeling broke off today. I need to go to sick hall.
I know how you feel. I played darts for the first time for about an hour the other week, and the leg that I was leaning on to throw the darts was exhausted the next day. So I get it.
It is strange, like the things that you would do. You would never watch somebody do like entry-level yoga and think, oh, my body's going to be so sore the next day. If you don't use those muscles consistently, anything can get sore.
Oh, yeah.
Anything.
Yeah,
that's correct.
It's terrible. We've gelatinized.
Yeah, so I'm feeling not energized like Kate is, even though she said high energy. Yeah, so.
Woo.
All right, let's get going with round number one. What do we got, Kate?
To PT tomorrow morning.
Yeah, right. Anyway, the Army recently published an update to its command policy that encourages sergeants to drop their soldiers for push-ups or order extra physical training to correct minor screw-ups as an alternative to stiffer non-judicial punishments, aka NJPs, last updated in 2014. Holy shit. So it's been 6 years, I'm no mathematician, since they've updated the regulation there. The 213-page Army Regulation 600-20 is designed to offer command guidance for commanders across the Army, and it included updates on corrective training, sexual harassment reporting, only 6 years overdue, extremist activity on social media, So it's sort of like a guidebook for parenting, I would think, you know, like those books that come out every few years, how to be a good parent. That's sort of what this regulation is. It includes specified authority for NCOs to correct minor soldier infractions with, and I quote, brief forms of exercise. Physical exercises are an acceptable form of corrective training for minor acts of indiscipline, like requiring a soldier to do push-ups if they're late to formation, so long as it does not violate hazing, bullying, and unlawful punishment.
That line is going to be so thin.
Yes, exactly.
So
this is
thin.
Where Chaps and I, this is where our lines part and go very separate ways. Non-punitive corrective measures can include the denial of a pass, like for the weekend maybe, or other privileges or extra training. The regulation warns that leaders should monitor subordinates to make sure non-punitive practices, again, don't devolve into hazing. So you can do a push-up, you just can't do it maybe with
your gas mask on.
With your gas mask on. Or I was going to say the broom poking you in the butt a little bit. I don't know. Anyway, so basically less paperwork.
Yeah, no brooms in the buttholes,
yeah,
folks.
No, don't do that.
That's a no-no.
I decided halfway through my thought there, maybe don't go forward with that. So basically less paperwork in page 11 NJP type stuff, more handling in-house and immediate corrective action. So Chaps and Cons. Cons, this is a new world for you, being able to correct soldiers and take care of things now.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Even this, unless it was something as egregious as finding out that one of my soldiers stole things from another soldier, was told that they were stolen and they belonged to someone else, finding out that that person just didn't still give it back, I still would not get involved in things like this. This is totally NCO business.
All right. Well, I'm making you an NCO for the day. NCO Ooh. Cons, okay? You're a okay. sergeant now.
Oh, and God.
Chaps, you're also. I'm demoting you as well. You are now a sergeant once again. So here's a couple scenarios. I am a PFC in your unit, okay? And I'm a mess, all right? And so you have to determine, because, again, how do you decide what is enough? Where is that line? So I'm going to give you four scenarios, and you decide what kind of corrective action this gets.
Okay.
It's Friday morning, barracks room inspection. You're going through, my room seems fine, but then you find an entire slice soaked in ranch of Domino's Chicken Bacon Ranch pizza underneath my bed, along with an empty tall boy of Yingling. So you see this, what's happening to me? What do I got to do?
This one for me, I mean, this is a pretty classic. You're just redoing field day on tomorrow morning. Like you have to do it again. You're going to redo field day. You're not going anywhere on Friday night. You'll just have to redo field day. That one's easy.
Okay. Cons?
Plus 100 push-ups.
Okay. Plus 100 push-ups. All right.
Wow. And let me just say before we go on with this, even though I usually am a more hard nose, I would not allow corporals to do this type of training. And if I was the company commander or if I was the battalion commander, I would make whoever wants this authority to do it to come talk to me and tell me when they would use it and how they would use it.
Yes, definitely oversight on this kind of thing. All right, while tired and cold on a field op, I just got done my firewatch shift. Here comes Sergeant Cons with a tiny cup of espresso in his hand and he wants me to do something. I tell him, hey, kick rocks, dweebo. Now what happens to me?
That's stadiums. We're doing stadiums that day, for sure.
Plus 100 push-ups.
So we're doing stadium steps plus 100 push-ups. Okay.
And we're going, if I'm still at Quantico, we're going to the stadium that I know has bees.
No!
No, yeah.
Not the bee stadium. Anything like that. All right. At the armory, PFC Kate has somehow misplaced the spring to her M9, and the whole unit has spent hours and hours searching for it to no avail. Do I get in trouble?
I would make her grab her little battle buddy and get out a magnifying glass and go hands and knees all the way across, just like you would if you were doing a police call, and say, where is my firing pin, Watson? Where is my firing pin, Watson? While looking all over for it.
Yeah. Plus 100 push-ups.
Say the barracks was like a mile away. I would have to do that all the way home to the barracks.
Yeah.
Something like that. See, that's where the line people say, is that hazing? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think that's okay.
That was a good punishment off the top of the dome.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
And finally, we're in a unit that's big about keeping it in-house, okay? PFC Kate returns to base Monday morning with a surprise husband, a small middle finger tattoo behind her right ear, and an RV at 45% interest, which she parks at the barracks.
Nothing. All of those are her decisions when she's on Liberty and doesn't affect the unit or what we're doing. She could do all those things. They directly affect her and no one else.
All right.
That's correct.
You guys are good leaders.
This is the difference. Chaps comes up with that Watson thing. I never would have thought of something like that.
Right.
One of the things I would used to do, just because I was always really a really good runner, I would make people run with me until they threw up. Call me whatever name you wish, but I would do that. No,
I always hated running. I've always hated running. Yeah. I mean, joining the Marine Corps and hating running was a very stupid decision. Even when I played basketball and played sports and things like that, if we were just doing runs, fuck that, man. Baseball, running, poles, I hate every minute of it. But if you put me in a leadership position and it's a junior troop, I will run for days. Like, I'll run and just look over and seeing them sucking wind because they have zero idea how far we're gonna go.
That's what it
God,
is.
God, it's such, I love that.
It's not so much about the physical aspect of making them run. It's the mental torture that
it's about. You hurting them deeply.
You don't mm-hmm. know mm-hmm. when I'm gonna say enough is enough. So you just are running infinitely, and that is so hard when you're running, especially if you're not a good runner.
Let me tell you one story that popped up from Staff Academy when I was there. It was the sergeant's course. So in order to become a staff NCO, you had to go to sergeant's course at the time. And sergeant's course just sucks. No matter what branch of service you are, all those NCO leadership, corporal's course, whatever, it fucking blows. We had two sergeants that were late in my little flight that I was in. And we had this gunny who was, I mean, for a staff NCO, the fastest dude I've ever been around. Like, he would run sub 18 minutes as a gunny, which is pretty unheard of. I mean, you're going to be well into your 30s at that time. We went out on a run, and we went on the long route of Quantico, which is about 7 miles. It was a 7 mile run on a Friday morning. It was about 40 degrees outside in the wintertime. And so we're getting ready to go back. And you go back every time. We've been in sergeant's course for, I think, 4 or 5 weeks at this point. And every time you come down this one road, you go home. Like, it's like, all right, going home. So we're out there calling cadence. All the sergeants are calling cadence and shit like that. We're like, going home. Oh, yeah. And you think you're going home. And he's like, take a left, bitches.
Oh,
and
yeah!
It's like, and we yeah! and we have to, we go back around. So you're pushing your pace because you think it's almost over. And we're getting up to, as a platoon size element, we're getting up to about 7 minute pace of how fast we're running.
That's moving.
That's moving. Period. Like at the end, your last
platoon pace, that's really moving.
Yeah, and we were cruising because we were the rabbits. Like, you're cruising whenever you're going down and you think it's over, so you pick up the pace a little bit because you want to end strong. And when he told us to turn left, we're going back around again, I was like, oh my
God. It really does break your spirit a little bit. You're like,
by the time we got back, because we were the rabbits, like, we were the ones that were in really good shape to start it. Like, all of us were 280, 290 PFT years or above. You had people that were running sub 23 minute miles, sucking wind, puking, throwing up, and the gunny was just standing there like,
good.
Do not ever be late to my formation again.
Yep. Oh,
I'm sorry. Oh.
It was brutal. It works because if you're the asshole that made everybody go through that, like, it sticks in your head. You don't forget mm-hmm. it. It's like a real.
And then we were late because our PT lasted a good hour longer than everybody else's. Mm-hmm. We were late, and then Master Sergeant was pissed at us because we were late to start class.
It's a never ending cycle. That's what we had a guy. I thought a good one. We had a guy who left his rifle at the rifle range and, like, legit got on the bus and, like, literally didn't know.
I had no idea you're in 2.9, Kate.
So they made, I know, they're still looking for it. They made him carry two full ammo cans for, like, I think it was over a week everywhere he went, to the chow hall, literally, if he went to the PX, you better see him with both ammo. So he always had to have a buddy to, like, help him carry his food tray at the chow hall. He had to have a buddy do everything because he had to carry these things 24/7.
I bet his pull-ups went through the roof, though. That grip strength after doing that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, but it's just those little things. So I'm excited to hear. I don't know. I feel like in the Army, they're already doing this anyway. So it's just updated behind the time.
The Army has all, I will say the Army is better at letting their NCOs do that kind of stuff than we are, which is surprising because every other aspect of it, they don't have as much leadership. But for that stuff, they do. My favorite punishment I ever gave out, besides one that we talked about a long time ago, where I was pointing at leaves from across the field and made a Marine go get one of those leaves. No, not this one, a different one. My favorite one was, his name was Corporal Dunaway. And Corporal Samuel Dunaway used to always have a... Whenever you're a dog handler, your dog gets paid by a Kong. Like, they don't think that they're getting... that they're looking for bombs or anything like that. They have no idea. They're just looking for a toy. Well, if you're a dog handler and your dog responds on something and you don't have a Kong to pay your dog and you have NCOs in the room, that's like the cardinal sin of dog training. You just don't do that. And he didn't have his, so I made him drill a little hole in his Kong and wear it around his neck for 2 weeks, no matter what, on duty, off duty, wherever he was wearing it. And so he would go out to the bars in Okinawa and have like this big red Kong just around his neck, because I told all the other Marines, Dunaway was from Quantico. Whoever. It was a Marine. And I said, if you see Chapter, Stanley Chapter was his name. I said, if you see Chapter out in town without his Kong, take a picture and I will give you a 4-day weekend. And they were like, okay. So all of his buddies were like, oh shit, don't you dare wear it because I want a 4-day weekend.
Absolutely.
I love the creativity from NCOs when it comes to punishment.
People think the military is not creative people, but really is. We are artists. Yes.
That might be our biggest strength, is improvised, adapting, and overcoming.
Truly. Indeed.
Absolutely. All right, let's move on to round number two. For round number two, we're going to do a little Coast Guard with a little bit of Jaws goofing, because we have some shark news, and it's not the hit song Baby Shark. Play 15 seconds of that, Kyle. Not what we're actually going to do. Kate, what's this all about?
All right. So there's nothing like a dip in the Pacific after a long day at work, especially when the job is on the sun-beaten deck or the engine room of a U.S. Coast Guard cutter. And cutters are pretty big-ass ships. So the crew of the National Security Cutter Kimball ended Wednesday with a special treat, a carefully orchestrated swim call for more than 40 crew members. With a rescue swimmer in place and other precautions taken to ensure safeties, the Coasties are jumping off the boat, they have swim fins, they're in their own fun it's not like Coast Guard stuff, they're wearing like tropical swim trunks, and there's music playing, fun music playing, they've got giant unicorn floats and tubes, and it looks like legit made me want to be in the Coast Guard. Watching the scene.
I'm so jealous of Beach Day for the Coast Guard.
Yeah, can I tell you, I was so blown away when they showed in the video, or in the clip, the pictures of the ship. There's like chairs out. There's looked like AstroTurf down. People are all dressed down. It looked like they're probably a grill somewhere close by. It looked very, very nice.
It looked like it looked like a bachelor party on a pontoon boat on Lake Austin. You know what I mean? A large party barge instead of a Coast Guard cutter. It looked like a great time. And everyone was having a great day, smiling and having fun. It was perfect, according to the ship's Facebook page. Until that is... Dunna, 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 dunna. An unwanted 8-foot predator crashed the party. And here is an audio clip from what happened next. Fair warning, a little bit of gunfire, my friends.
No. Let's throw the bow. Ready for the bow.
Turn it back. Turn it back.
Sink the unicorn.
That's right, from the flight deck, personnel spotted a longfin mako that had surfaced, and there was like 40 swimmers in the water, and all of a sudden, looking at the pictures, this thing is huge. It's like 8 feet long, and it comes swimming up right around the swimmers. Here's where it pays to have Coast Guard and Navy vessels maintain shark watches and polar bear watches during breaks in places where humans are not at the top of the food chain. I did not know this. I had never heard of polar bear or shark watch on either Navy or Coast Guard vessels. So 30 feet from its prey, the designated shark watch spotted the shark. It was First Class Samuel Cintron. He locked on the target and, under orders of his chief, opened fire with a well-aimed burst right on top of the shark to protect shipmates just feet away. In the video, you see swimmers trying to get away, And you see the gunfire hitting the water like 5 feet from the swimmers. It is close to where these swimmers are at.
I gotta know what their rifle qual is. They'll trust them with that.
Seriously.
My God, dude. Because one trigger pull, one faulty breath, you're shooting your shipmate.
And if you hear that video from what we heard, there was a lot of gunfire. I mean, this guy was rat, dat, 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 dat. And the swimmers are all over the place. The shark turned briefly away, but then again turned towards crew members who were swimming for the Jacob's Ladder, a smaller boat that they sent out to start collecting the swimmers. How fucking terrifying. 40 coasties in the water, a shark swimming among them, and they're all desperately trying to get to this boat. Cintron opened fire again. He fired bursts as needed to keep the shark from his shipmates with amazing accuracy. The shark would wave off with each burst, but kept coming back towards the shipmates. So this shark, like, clearly you'd think it would be like...
He's probably just curious like George, just wanted to see what's going on.
Hey,
like, who the fuck are all these people?
Where's the green filling?
And then when you got the gunfire that is moving the water at the top, that probably just alerted its sensors even more because it probably thinks it's possibly food jumping around. Doesn't realize it's bullets.
Yeah, that's a good point. It could be attractive.
Yeah, they don't know.
These mackerel are fucking slapping it at. Seriously. Oh, shit.
Holy shit, he's got a gun and a knife.
He's probably like, oh, what's going on up here? Here's gunfire. Like, coming to see what the scene is. The only injury, of all things, was a scrape suffered by a member of the crew as they returned to the ship. A scratch on the knee centered on a tattoo right in the middle of an open set of shark's teeth. So you see this coastie sitting on a chair. His knee is an entire, surrounding his whole knee is this shark's mouth. And in the middle is the bloody cut that he got getting back on. One of my favorite moments from the video is there's still 11 coasties in the water scrambling. And the unicorn float has flipped upside down. And there's gunfire going off. And one coastie yells, save the unicorn! It's trying to get people to save the unicorn instead. But I'm glad nobody was hurt. I had no idea there was polar bear or shark watch on these.
I would love to be on polar bear watch.
Polar bear watch. I wonder.
I talked about it yesterday on the Chaps and Kate show, how excited I see a deer.
I know.
If I saw a polar bear in the wild, goodness gracious.
If I saw a polar bear, I'd be very hard-pressed to shoot it, even if it was going after one of my shipmates, because I think polar bear, I think of the Coca-Cola bears at Christmas, and they're just so cute and cuddly.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree.
So what am I going to do? I can't. But meanwhile, sharks? Shoot them all. Who cares? Shoot them all.
Well, it really depends on who that shipmate is that you're trying to save, really.
Right.
Like, if it's a ship bag, eat them up. If it's, like, a really good soldier or somebody, you gotta save them there. But polar bears are going to be extinct soon. We can't just be wiping them out willy-nilly just because you wanted to have a unicorn party down there in the Arctic.
You should have to sign a waiver. If you're in a port of call with a polar bear and it gets you, that's on you.
Yeah, it's almost like you have to have, what is that, last rites DNR, do not resuscitate. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the same exact thing there. But what if you're out there swimming and you're having a nice little relaxing day and everybody on the ship, I imagine, is like family. There can't ever be any fraternization on a ship because that's against military orders all kinds of stuff. Nobody would ever be in a relationship. You decide to go skinny dipping instead. You flip over on your little unicorn float. Your dick is dangling like a little piece of chum. Next thing you know, a shark comes up and bites your dick off. What are you going to do? Well, what you're not going to do is have babies unless you were smart and you went to daddy.com and you made sure that you get your frozen sperm for 1 year for the low price of only $99. Who knows? You never know when your dick's going to be chomped by a shark. If you do happen to have that happen, make sure that your sperm is tested, you have it frozen, so you can come home and still have babies all for $199. They're going to provide a special limited item offer to the Barstool community of $50 off your first purchase. Go to daddykit.com to order your kit and enter the promo code ZBT50 during checkout. That's DADIKIT.com to enter your kit, to get your kit, and enter the promo code ZBT50 at checkout. It's awesome for people who work in dangerous jobs, or if you just sit behind a computer and you might have a computer fall on your dick. Either way, protect your dick, protect your kids, protect your right to have a baby by going to daddykit.com. Let's move on to round number three.
I just want to add, of course, if a polar bear chomps your dick off, sorry. Again, that's your fault. You don't
True.
Serve daddy kit.
That is absolutely right. Next up is round number three. It comes to us from the Department of the Navy on the official letterhead, which I believe Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe it is a little off center at the top, and I would throw it back just for that purpose. Can you confirm, Kyle?
I can't, because I never understood all that. But they did misspell a word, and that would get a kickback.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, you can't be a captain acting all high and mighty, and then next thing you know, and this is not, we were talking about it earlier before it started. We were saying captain, company, commander. This is Colonel 06 type of captain here. This is a battalion level. So this makes more sense to me
this
now.
This is Army.
Yes, it is.
It's Department of the Army.
Oh, I misread it again. Yeah, it's Department of the Army. Well, then maybe the letterhead's not off. I just saw a little seal at the top. Okay, anyways, let's get into the actual story of what's going on. There's an official letterhead sent out by a captain who is an O3, as we all know. The subject for the health and welfare of the force. Cons, you can go ahead this because this is your captain buddy. What does he say?
Number one, all music by Cardi B is now banned in building. And it gives the building number, but it's whited out. It is literally trash. If you need any musical recommendations, please report to the company first sergeant and receive a list of a wide variety of classic 90s hits given by the authority AR-600-20, period, until officially rescinded. Rescinded is spelled incorrectly, and no special instructions. Signed, so-and-so, Captain, Aviation, Commanding.
Also, we need to have a grammatical lesson. It is not literally trash because it's music. It cannot be trash. That would be rubbish. It is not literally trash.
There's memos in this house. There's memos in this house. There's memos in this house. Certified captain. Gonna make it happen.
Okay. Well, I don't know who this captain is, but I agree. Cardi B stinks.
Whoa, you are so
I love Cardi B.
Oh, you little fragile little men clutching your pearls at our wet ass pussies.
I don't care about the topics and the lyrics in her song. I just think it sounds really not great. I think it's overly produced. I think a ton of music today is overly produced, and I don't think the musicians today, except for a few, are actually very talented. I think they're just a byproduct
of
what
if your ears were a pussy, they'd be
I had no idea you were outside, Cons. You had the opportunity to yell at the clouds like that. My goodness.
Yeah, wow. Old man Cons.
Kate, need to ask you a question. I'm sure you've heard the edited version and the unedited version. I am under the impression, I think the unedited version actually sounds a little more raunchy.
Either way, I have been listening to it nonstop. I know your wife has too, chaps. So yeah, we've been watching every
wet
TikTok.
And gushy. Good
that
God!
That macaroni in the pot, my friends. Anyways,
okay. So
it got me thinking. Though this is clearly an old timer who only wants to hear '90s music in his building, or her. Though I know a woman would never be stupid enough to feel this way. So I'm saying it's a man. But okay. I thought we could make a little 90s mix CD that would play
on loop.
That's
reverse sexist, by the way.
I don't care. That would make a 90s mix CD that would play on loop in this building 24/7 Guantanamo Bay style. So we better make our songs good. There's four of us. We each get 12. We each get three picks. Nice little 12-song CD. It just plays on loop endlessly in this first sergeant's building, so they get their dose of 90s music. Do you know what your songs are?
I have yes.
Yes.
Okay. First of all, for me, Ace of Base, I Saw the Sign. Okay, can't go wrong with it.
I saw the sign.
And it opened up my eyes, and I am happy now living without you. I left you. Okay, that one, you can't stop tapping your toe. It's a great song. Up next, Lil' Kim.
And can I say before we move on, that might be my first crush from a music video. The blonde in Ace of Base is Smoke Show.
Smoke show, for sure. Yes, absolutely. Number two, Lil' Kim, Got a Crush on You.
We're not doing Snake Draft? You get to go all four?
I'm doing three. Okay. We each get three. Yeah, oh yeah. So, Lil' Kim, Crush on You, that music video, again, titties popping, waps all over
Yeah,
the place.
Needless to say, with Lil' Kim, her titties be popping.
They are indeed popping. And then finally, Backstreet's Back. I don't know if it's 90s, I guess, but I believe it is. So, Backstreet's Back. All right. I got the hand motions. Those are the first three songs on my CD, on our CD. What's next?
All right. Who's going next, Kate?
Chaps, you
are. Okay. So, next up, I would say that I have Whoop, There It is going to be my song. I love that song.
Yeah.
Anytime you hear Whoop, There It Is by Tag Team, they put asses in the seats. Second up is going to be, It's by Naughty by Nature. And what is the song called? Fuck, it just went out of my...
Sing it.
Rex in Effect. No, God, what is the song called? Oh my God.
This CD is terrible.
Naughty by Nature. OPP, yeah. Oh, who's down with OPP? Yeah, you know me.
That
one's next. All right. And then I'm going to have a classic hit that I imagine Kate loves this song when it comes on at the bar. If she's like 7 to 8 Miller Lights deep, I think Tub Thumping is going to be the next one.
Oh, that was one of my first CDs. Horrible CD.
Yeah, it's terrible.
But great song. Yeah, this is fantastic so far. Also, that first song you said, great for a little jump rope PT. Mm-hmm. People don't know that in elementary school in the 90s, I was in the American Heart Association's jump rope dance team.
Wow.
And I had a routine to that song. No, now they do. Cons?
All right. Good news. I picked 14 songs, so I'm going to list all 14, and then I'll select...
No, we don't have time for that shit.
What
Nobody wants to hear 14 fucking songs.
Okay.
We will move on to the next round before 14 songs.
Just you can't piggyback off yourself.
Read it off. I'll allow it if he reads them like the end of a medicine ad on TV, like fast as fuck.
What's My Age Again? Slide, Hold My Hand, Ants Marching, Mr. Jones, Hold On, Walking on Broken Glass, Kiss from a Rose, Juicy, Hard Knock Life, Baby One More Time, You Ought to Know, I Want It That Way, Wonderwall. Okay. My three will be What's My Age Again? Just because I think for...
That's 90s?
Yes.
Blink 182?
Oh my God, Kate. See, this is why...
There's no way that's fucking 90s
music. Go ahead,
music.
Look it up. Look it up.
Yeah, it's got to be like 98 or something.
Okay, go on. I'll allow it. I don't like it, but I'll allow it. Huh.
Are we going to look it up?
I'm looking it up right now.
1999.
Holy shit.
Thank you.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Holy shit.
I will go with Walking on Broken Glass by Annie
Classic.
Lennox.
Classic. That's a hammered Katie at the Bar song. If I ever heard it. It's so good. Okay.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh. This is tough. This is so tough to pick from my list.
Okay.
I'll go Ants Marching just because I love
Deep Tracks only.
All right, yep. Kyle. Kyle's a wild card. I feel like he's going to go more metal or something.
You'll be surprised. All right, here we go. First one. It's got a little WAP energy in it. Maybe a precursor. Mm-hmm. Baby Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot.
Yes. Okay.
I love it. Number two, Criminal by Fiona Apple.
Oh, that's a good one.
Can't forget about
her.
Song.
She was hot.
Yes.
Her new album, people are going ape shit on it. That might be the worst album I've ever heard in my entire life.
I didn't even know there was a new one.
That shit sucks. The new one is god awful.
Nickelback sucks too. Anyways, last one, since Kate kind of maybe got to pick a 2000 song, I'm going to cheat. I'm going to go with Country Grammar by Nelly.
Oh, excellent.
Oh,
yeah. It was 2000.
Yes. Okay.
But.
That counts. Yeah, that's the end of the 90s decade, technically,
right.
I think.
Yeah,
I think we'll allow that.
I mean, you put that on, I'm singing. Every word but the bad ones.
I think this is...
Can we all pick one borderline just off the top of our head? Like a borderline 2000 songs that might be in there that people can confuse? I'm going to go with Faith by Limp Bizkit.
Yeah. Great cover. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great cover.
That is a great cover.
Well, I think my initial first one, What's My Age Again, was the borderline one, even though it was 99.
Couple borderlines in there.
If I had to switch out What's My Age Again to make it a for sure 90s song, I'd go Hold My Hand by Hootie.
Okay. Yeah.
Also, we have Alex Lycia, Lisa Loeb, can't forget her, Trick Daddy, anything from No Limit Records, Semisonic.
Yes.
Lots of Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, Mandy Moore, Jessica Simpson. I mean, this was a great... I do love Cardi B, but I don't hate the idea of this building playing our 90s record.
What if they got... Okay, imagine you just got back from a deployment, and for morale, this company commander puts in one of those jukeboxes that are at like a bar where you can play...
Oh, the touch tunes?
Yeah, and all that money goes to... Oh my God, I'm about to have the best idea ever. If you are a company commander or a battalion commander and you want to raise money for your ball, during lunch hours, from 1100 to 1300, have one of those machines rented out and you get to play songs. And then you can add like, oh, play this one next where you pay an extra buck. All of that money goes as your battalion ball fund.
Yes, PT music too. That could be the... And here, this also, final note, got me thinking about how on our, those Moto videos where it's like the drones blowing shit up and the command, like those command post deployment videos for like, here's three mm-hmm. ones and it's the rock and roll music or whatever. Like, what's a classic one? Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. So 1990s, we got Operation Desert Shield. We're heating up in the Gulf. The invasion of Kuwait by Iraq is happening. 1993, we got Black Hawk down in Somalia, the Battle of Mogadishu. There is stuff. I looked up on Wikipedia what the military was up to in the 90s. It was a lot. We were in Africa. We were in Gaza, Bosnia, all this stuff. We were all over the place. What would the 90s version of, like, let the bodies hit the floor be?
There's one answer, and there's one answer only.
What?
And that is Enter Sandman by Metallica.
Oh, was that 90s?
91.
Oh, my God. You're right, though. That is the song.
Yep.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Thanks, folks.
All right. Let's move on to round number
Thanks for playing.
Four. What do we?
Anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Yeah.
The Bon Bon Richard.
Oh, yeah.
People were saying, because we even got, we said on the show, we're getting intel that Russia may have been involved, folks. Turns out not, unless this sailor happens to have ties to Russia. Arson is suspected as the cause of the July 12th fire that left extensive damage to the amphibious assault ship of Bonhomme Richard, the Bomb Dick, as we were calling it, docked off San Diego, and a U.S. Navy sailor being questioned as a potential sus. Okay? We got a potential sus on our hands. According to an official, the sailor is being questioned as part of the investigation by NCIS, and the official, with knowledge of the investigation, spoke to the AP anonymously. The sailor is not yet detained. The ship burned for more than 4 days and was the Navy's worst U.S. warship fire outside of combat in recent memory. Extensive structural, electrical, and mechanical damage. The future of the ship's unclear now. And it is one of the few within the U.S. fleet that can act as a mini aircraft carrier. So, kind of a big deal. Kind of an important ship here. It could cost the Navy up to $4 billion with a B
Good
to replace
God.
It. And it was just at the end of a two-year upgrade that cost $250 million. Okay, so they had just finished $250 million renovations, or were towards the end of it.
I don't understand how these ships cost so much. They're ugly. They look like they're just made of concrete. Like, how in the fuck is that $4 billion? You ever seen Shad Khan's yacht? That one was only $400 million, and it looks dynamite compared to that burnt-up bitch,
you,
the Richard.
Baby.
I mean, does anyone else here watch Below Deck? You see all the gorgeous yachts on that show. It's unbelievable.
I really think we should get
with all that
aircraft
money.
Carriers are outdated. We should have an entire fleet of nothing but sailors on Sea-Doos, just cruising around and doing stuff.
I agree. I'd like to see more of a Waterworld
yeah.
type thing going on with our Navy.
Right now, it has more of a Babadook kind
imagine?
Of vibe in the Navy.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Imagine if we had up-armored Sea-Doos.
Oh, my God. That would be incredible.
That'd
do.
Be awesome.
I bet you
That'd
money
awesome.
We do. Somewhere.
Well, those underwater Sea-Doos that, like, I don't know if they're called Sea-Doos or not, but the where it'll make you pull.
I
want to
exactly
get. You should get
about.
One of those
yeah.
for your pool in Jersey. Conj, you can order them on Amazon for, yeah. Amazon for like $100.
They're only
yeah, I think
bucks?
So.
All right.
We Looks need
like
more underwater
Sea-Doos
and more tunnels.
Exactly
we all
right.
agree on that.
See, underwater Sea-Doos into the tunnels.
I agree.
Yes.
I agree. So about 160 sailors and officers were on board when it went up in flames, sent up a huge plume of dark smoke. This is an almost 900-foot vessel. This thing is huge. Again, it was docked at Naval Base San Diego while it was undergoing the end of these upgrades, which is part of why the fire spread so quickly. A lot of doors and things were open, allowing for the flow of oxygen because there was all sorts of cords and wiring going through during the renovation. The Navy thought it had the fire under control, but again, all sorts of cardboard boxes and rags and other maintenance supplies, strong winds coming off the bay. It was just the perfect storm.
You know what they call that in the Navy, Kate? FOD.
What? Oh, yeah, FOD. That's right. And that stands for...
Foreign Object Debris.
Debris. Yes, Foreign Object Debris was all over the place. The ship was covered in FOD. And then two big explosions that were heard as far as 13 miles away caused it to grow even bigger. And people were saying, oh, it's Russia. Oh, it's this. Oh, it's that. Could have been a sailor. I don't know how they figured this out, but I would love to. I'm very interested for more details to come out on this. Was it a disgruntled sailor? Was it a... sailor with ties to
they
Russia?
Probably had the fellow from Mindhunter come and interview him. Like,
was it just like a weird sicko who this is like, because it has to give you big dick energy to know you're about to cause like $2 billion worth of damage. You know what I mean? You gotta get a little bit of a boner going. Huh. You know you're about to do
why
it.
Do you think he did it? Like, what reason? If
here's
allegedly,
why he did it. Here's
allegedly.
Why he did it.
He
if
wanted to teach them
it,
a lesson about Fod on the ship, but it got out of hand.
No, this is definitely a sailor who was in a little bit of trouble, and he thought, maybe if I just start a fire, everybody will think, oh, that's not that big of a deal anymore, and I'll get out of trouble. Kind of like when you're little and you think if you run away after you do something bad, your parents won't be mad because they'll just be happy you came home.
Right.
That's what he was going for here.
Right. He got a DUI that Friday. The command didn't know yet. So he set the ship, or her. Mm. I would like to say women are also capable
women can
of
be
billions
arsonists.
Of dollars
sure.
of damage. Right. Yeah, women are arsonists as well. So please don't forget that. But yeah, 60 sailors and civilians treated for minor injuries, heat exhaustion, and smoke inhalation. Millions and millions and millions of dollars worth of damage and a really rough look for the Navy, adding to a whole slew of other accidents and incidents that have been happening over the last few years. So this sailor...
Like, really, what's the punishment? I mean, that's a long time.
I'd say 2 ammo cans everywhere you go for at least a month.
Billions of dollars of damage. Unbelievable, man. That story is fucking crazy. All right, let's move on to round number 5. And even though we're making fun of it, we do know that the people, the sailors who have been on that ship, love the ship. There is a lot of attachment to that. I think that's something that Marines and... sailors, our Marines and soldiers don't really understand Airmen too, is the love that Navy folks have for their actual ship. Like, they'll get out. You don't ever see a Marine get out and be like, Marine Corps Base Quantico hat. Like, that doesn't happen. But whenever they get out, they'll always wear, like, the USS Enterprise or whatever. You constantly see that. Yeah. Let's move on to round number 5. Round number 5, we're going to do a little more goof, and it's a catch me if you can type of story. I love these kind of stories. Just because to get to the place where you think that you can actually go and be a part of something that Homeland Security or ICE or any of the other alphabet soups, whatever they're doing, anytime you get to that place where you say, you know what? I think I know enough to do that. I'm going to go do it. Well, that happened with a California security guard who allegedly masqueraded as a federal law enforcement officer for years, using the false title to obtain guns and even discussing an investigation with the district attorney's office. I was actually thinking about this the other day. Did any of you have federal firearm carrying permits whenever you were in?
I don't think so. I don't know. I was an MP.
No, you didn't.
I don't remember.
So you would definitely know if you had it. So, like, they give you this badge, and it, like, I was able to carry weapons on planes and have, like, a handgun on a plane and things like that. Well, these licenses look like you printed it out on Microsoft. They are not impressive at all either. Like, I'm sure Kyle can find it on social media what they actually look like. They look like shit. 99% of the people in the world, probably 99.9, have no idea what these licenses look like. So if you flash a badge to somebody, even like a local law enforcement officer, they're going to have no idea what it actually should look like. And if you make it look remotely like it, you're going to get away with a lot of stuff if you do that.
Yep. If you have the right looking gear, and I swear to God,
confidence is everything.
Half the time, sneaking into bars underage, all I had to do was have my shoulders back, have the address memorized. I didn't look anything like the girl on my ID. But guess what? There I was partying, getting hammered at the bars.
Yep. Same thing happened to Donovan Nguyen, 34 years old, of Riverside, when he was arrested on Monday and charged with one count of false impersonation of a federal officer employee. Nguyen had spent years pretending to be a special agent with Homeland Security and ICE, among others. Nguyen allegedly introduced himself using that false title to agents with the U.S. Department of State's Diplomatic Security Service when they arrived at a retirement ceremony in Orange County to execute a search warrant in May of last year. At that time, Nguyen was employed with a private security at the company. The community...
So it's a 55 and up community is where they came. Sorry, I said ceremony and something else. But 55 and up community. He was just a security guard there. Like at my parents' place, just a rent-a-cop.
What a flex.
Rent-a-cop at a 55 and up community. And the State Department came to investigate.
And I will say that takes some nuts, man. Like to go up a Department of State agent and say that that's what I do. Two other ones. Like it's the same thing when you're impersonating a Marine or doing stolen valor, impersonating a Marine or whoever, and you're actually doing it with other Marines, like the people who were. That is insane because there are certain things that you just don't know. Like when there's a guy I went to school with, and he would constantly wear a MARPAT backpack. And I was like, oh, were you in the Marines? He said, yeah, I was in the Marines. I said, oh, where did you go to boot camp? He's like, I don't remember. Like, what? You don't remember?
What?
Fuck.
Even Kate remembers where she right. went.
There's only two choices, pal. Like, you either in South Carolina or California. It's not like they're all over
the
place.
Say one of them. Say one of them, you got 50
right.
cents.
And I'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Well, this guy just was goofing around with his pals in the Department of Homeland Security. He's going to go to jail for it. What a weirdo. Like, why? I don't understand why you would do that.
That was my question. What's the end game here? Was he hoping for benefits or what?
Well, what happened was that, so the security guards at this 55 and up, not supposed to be armed at all. But he openly carried firearms and just started telling the residents, oh, it's part of my job as a federal agent, too. Then he started using false DHS identification and was using it to buy more firearms. He said, I need it for my special agent job. And he would also leave work and say, hey, sorry, I got to leave work today. Part of my special agent job. And I bet all the old folks are like, go get him, Tiger. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That classic special agent reservist that they have.
His coworkers at this 55 and up community, at this like retirement community, they recall seeing him. He had like DHS plaques, tactical gear, ballistic shield, and HSI bag inside his tiny little office at this retirement community. Like, I know this so well because my parents live in one, and what it would be like to look in the door and see their like their janitor guy with like a DHS shield in his office.
Can I just point out too, in the picture on the sheet, it looks as though he has a significant other, just from what I'm gathering here. I wonder what he tells that lady, if he is fully honest with her, or if this is just a charade he puts on for the 55 and ups to impress them.
I don't know, because even his car, he had red and blue lights and a siren on his car. He handed out Homeland Security coins, memorabilia, and mugs to people
man.
At the office.
You know what? Got to give him credit. I mean, guy's going the full nine yards, the whole nine yards. I appreciate that.
And he never worked with them. He never did anything.
Imagine, I mean, because you work as a federal agent, you get paid pretty well. Like, they make pretty good money. Yeah. Imagine what the people at the old folks home must be thinking. What is this fellow doing with his money? He must be in a big credit hole if he needs a side job here at the old folks
home.
Yeah,
why is he doing this? Yeah, exactly. He must just really like old people, I guess. His LinkedIn said he had been with DHS since 2008, and listed a bunch of other fake jobs. He is also in a YouTube video where he claims to be a federal agent and discusses immigration policies. So again, people, use discretion when you're looking up your news and your YouTube videos. It could be just a total phony. And basically, finally, coworkers got suspicious. They called him out. He could get a maximum sentence of 3 years in prison. But he was, like, involving himself in searches and going along with them, showing up and hanging out. And
maybe he just thought he was like that fella from Office Space, where if he just hung out long enough that they wouldn't fire him, or that he'd just be a special agent by... I guess he could be a special agent by proxy.
Well, this is, like, several months ago, we covered a story about... one of the protests, a gentleman dressed up like
it might have been the
National
same fellow.
Guard, dressed up like National Guard, and just hung out with them for like 2 days straight in their ranks, and finally somebody was like, we don't know this guy, right? Like, he just bought some gear that looked like theirs and blended in. So yeah, there's a lot of, I bet you money, there's so many more cases of this actively happening right now that just haven't been found yet. So if you're listening to this in uniform, look around.
Well, and because so many of these places are undermanned, like, so they probably welcome the extra bodies. Like, sweet.
Yeah, come on.
We got somebody else for Firewatch. Love it.
Yeah, perfect. You're not costing us.
I mean,
time.
We talked about that story that happened in on Fort Bragg, where the guy was a stolen valor dude and lived in the barracks with the Rangers or Green Berets or something.
With the Rangers.
So you could do it. I mean, and really, whenever you're in the military, you wouldn't care. I wouldn't care if somebody off the streets came and lived in the barracks, as long as they're also taking like an A duty or duty NCO shift.
You know, for Zero Block 30 content, we should each pick a base. And see who can live the longest in a barracks without getting caught.
I think it would. I think it'd be me and Cons. I think.
Yeah.
You forgot all the terms, Kate. So you would. You'd really struggle.
Yeah, that would be a little.
I don't know what rank is that. I can't see. I don't remember what that is. Are you a colonel? What are you? I'm a chief warrant officer. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on to save rounds and alibis. Cons, we'll start with you.
Okay, let's start with me. Something that will interest, I know, at least me and Chaps, very excited to see that the West Wing is doing some sort of revival.
Disagree. I'm not excited about it.
Why?
Because I don't like reunion shows. They're going to show, I want President Bartlett's last memory of him peacefully transferring over power, riding off into the sunset. I don't want to see President Bartlett old as shit.
Yeah, but he still looks great these days, so I don't think he would look that old.
I would.
Hmm.
All right, anyway. We should, as we record today, today is the 17th anniversary of Barstool Sports starting. If you noticed my throwback hat that I've been wearing.
Yes.
So, pretty cool that it's 17 years now.
Chaps is one of the first. What number were you, Chaps?
Employee?
What number employee were
21.
You? 21. And now there's over 100 on the content side. So, yeah. Wild.
And then finally, you know, I'm sorry. I don't mean to pick on you today, Catherine, but it's not my fault. Okay, it's not my fault as a card-carrying member of the Finer Things Club that people come to me to grade their charcuterie boards, okay? And you want to feel bad and give everybody 10s. That's not the way the world works, and nobody's going to get any better if I just tell everybody they have a 10 charcuterie board.
I'm going to make a charcuterie board on Labor Day
You can't
weekend
even say the word.
That's going to blow your dick
There you
off.
Go.
Like a I hope shark you do. In the water.
I hope you do. I hope you do. That's
all
right. I got.
Kyle?
Just want to get ahead of the Navy round we had about the big boat, the Bonham Richard.
Mm-hmm.
Don't DM us if we said something wrong. We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
We don't care.
Yeah, we don't care.
We'll never care.
Really, we don't.
No, we don't. Yeah. We don't care.
We've said before, double check our sources, folks. Don't trust us for your to be your real news. Come on.
Yeah, that's all I got.
Kate?
All right. Sad note, but I feel like it would be disingenuous not to bring it up. I almost wanted to make it around, but it feels like every other week at Fort Hood, it's something else. The aunt of a soldier whose body is believed to have been found about 30 miles from Fort Hood said her nephew was happy in the Army until a few months ago when he reported being sexually assaulted by a superior, a body that authorities believe is Sergeant Elder Fernandez, age 23 years old, was found late Tuesday in Temple, Texas, according to police. He was reported missing on August 19th by Killeen and Army police. His ID was found with his body. Foul play is not suspected, but the investigation's ongoing. Fort Hood obviously been gripped by separate killings and high-profile disappearances this year. We obviously had Vanessa Guillen. The remains of Private Gregory Waddell Morales was found in a field in Killeen. Three other soldiers were killed in separate shooting incidents. PFC Brandon Rosecrans was killed nearby. Specialist Freddie Delacruz was killed on March 14th, and Specialist Shelby Jones was killed in early March. I mean, the hits just keep on coming. So rest in peace to Sergeant Fernandez, and thoughts and prayers with his family and with the whole Fort Hood community. The whole community down there has to be feeling this and has to really be on edge with everything that's going on. So just thinking of them, I know that's heavy and sad, but he deserves to be mentioned. And then big shout out to all the National Guard responding to Hurricane Laura right now. Over 1,000 members of the Louisiana and Texas National Guards are out and about. I have to imagine when these things happen, if anybody out there has ever had their home destroyed in some sort of natural disaster, just to see them coming down the street has to be like, thank God a little bit of help is here. So whether it's food or rescue or supplies or whatever.
And same thing, those long lines of like electric trucks and things like that to go, the log cutters and all those. The Cajun Army or the Cajun Navy that they had whenever Harvey hit.
Yeah, and their little fan boats coming down. All right there, ding, 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 coming through to help you out. But yeah, big shout out to everybody who's lending a hand with that right now because, man, my goodness. Also, I can't stop, not to take away from the seriousness of it, I cannot stop reading it in Urkel's voice. Laura.
Hurricane Laura.
Did somebody say G?
That's a very recent reference by Kate. We appreciate that. Anytime you can
we're doing 90s.
Anytime you can throw in a Family Matters reference, you got to do it.
Mm-hmm. I just, great theme song, by the way.
Thank you.
I just want to call out their names because I need to hear something from one of these gentlemen with regards to what's going on down at Fort Hood. Lieutenant General Robert White or Command Sergeant Major Arthur Burgoyne Jr., please, one of you, step up and say something because it's clearly not okay what's going on at Fort Hood.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah.
Come on the show.
We're seeing a lot of that stuff that's going on. We also saw this week, I was very surprised to see that Secretary Esper allowed Marines to be involved at the RNC and salute President Trump as he walked in. That's blatantly against Marine Corps customs and courtesy and DOD policy. Should not happen. You shouldn't have any uniformed service members at any type of political rally, even if the president is there. It should all be Secret Service and things like that. Next note I want to make, and I don't want to necessarily call out Sergeant Major Black, Sergeant Major Troy Black, who's a Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. I just had a thought last night that I was, when I was reading one of his tweets that talked about Montford Point, and it was the anniversary of Montford Point opening up, and we always view it as like this celebration of Montford Point opening and allowing and having Black men go to Montford Point to train to be Marines. We do that as a celebration, but it should also, in my opinion, be accompanied by a condemnation of the racism that caused that. And I think that that's not just the case with Montford Point. It's the same thing with Jackie Robinson. We have this celebration that barriers had been broken and things like that. But I think in order to get rid of the stink, there has to be a condemnation of what happened before, because we don't talk about it because it's an ugly part of our history, the way that we treated Black people, not just during times of slavery, but much, much longer after that. The 1940s, the fact that there's still Marines alive that trained on Montford Point, and that's the way that they are treated. Coming home from World War II, Nazis were allowed to eat with them in the chow hall, but Black veterans were not allowed who fought in the same world. I find that to be disgusting, and I think that we need to change the way that we do that. An embracement of the Montford Point Marines, obviously, but also a condemnation of the past. Sound the retreat.